to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Melissa and Keith are there to take your calls today, so call now, tell them your first name, the station you're calling from, and the topic of your question. They'll put you on the screen here, and we'll call you when it's your turn. So 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. So if you're burying your problem instead of facing it, be not afraid. How many times does Jesus tell us, be not afraid? Let's look at this together. Call in and tell me your situation. We can come up with some steps to make a difference at 877-573-7825. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm a certified life coach, an author, a speaker. I've written several books on family life education, including Love and Life and Sex Respect. Those are both for teenagers. And then the new Love Ed video discussion series. There's a parent's guide, a father-son pre-puberty book, a father-son at puberty book, a mother-daughter pre-puberty book, a mother-daughter at puberty book, and a facilitator guide if you decide to put on the program at your parish. That's published by St. Benedict Press, or you can get it at my website, sexrespect.com. My background is in family life education. I've appeared on Oprah, Geraldo, Mother Angelica Live, 60 Minutes, the Steubenville High School Youth Conferences. My Sex Respect program, when abstinence was becoming more popular, took me around the world to train teachers in Sex Respect and in Love and Life, as well as other things. I also do a fun keynote address called The Four Heart Healthy Habits of Holiness, and I'm here for you every Saturday morning. And you can call in and get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. I've also been married for over 40 years. I have 5 adult children. We've got a lot of them in town this weekend for the holiday. Extra ones and extra grandkids here, so we're having a lot of fun, a lot of big meals, and having a good time. I just actually scrubbed the kitchen floor right before the show, trying to grab those little moments of doing the work that you need to do in between company and party. So I hope you're planning a wonderful 4th of July weekend as well. And even if you just sit and look at nature, it's a beautiful time of summer. But let's take a look at our own lives and see where we need some help. Give us a call if you know you need help, and you might know in a few more minutes, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. This Tuesday's gospel still, this past Tuesday still sticks with me from Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus got in the boat and suddenly a violent storm came up. Whenever I hear that gospel, or the other versions of the gospel as well, I just put myself in that place and remind myself to always call on God, because they say, the apostles say, Lord, save us, we're perishing. And sometimes in our culture today, it feels like that. Our families have issues, our extended families have issues, our neighbors have issues, our parishes have issues, our country has issues going on. So we say, oh, save us, we're perishing. And he says, why are you terrified, O you of little faith? And I think what happened last week with the proper return of the Constitution to the states to say, no, there is not a right to kill babies. I mean, that gives us hope. And so we have hope. We can have hope in Christ. You know, hope that better things are ahead. Hope we can get through the toughest times, the darkest times. Hope that we're stronger than any challenge that comes our way. And now we've got the challenge of the states, of course. Hope you're exactly where you're meant to be. Hope that you can trust in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And realize that in tomorrow's gospel, we're going to be sent out again. How Jesus sends us out. He says, you know, go forth and spread the good news. Don't even take your sandals and just go do it. He says, I'm sending you out like lambs among the wolves. The 72 in pairs to every town. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. How many people do you know that need Jesus, a lot of people, especially some of these angry people about that Supreme Court decision. So Jesus says in tomorrow's gospel, even this is an extended version. Some of your parishes might shorten it depending on your priest. But the third part of it says, whatever town you enter, they don't receive you. Go in the streets and shake the dust off your sandals. But he said the 72 returned rejoicing. They said this, and this will apply to our culture today. Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name. I've observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I've given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So how do we go forth and be not afraid? In Exodus chapter 23, it says, see, I'm sending an angel before you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place I've prepared. So he who dwells, Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and abides in the shadow of the Almighty says to the Lord, my refuge, my stronghold, my God in whom I trust. So how can we trust in God and make a difference in our culture right now? So we have to believe that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Jesus loves us. We love him. The Holy Spirit guides us to all truth. The Trinity will lead us to heaven. And we remember that when we face people who happen to be angry about whatever just happened last month. You know, now that I'm hearing they're going to call it Pro-Life Month instead of Gay Pride Month. There are people that are hurting, that are angry and confused, and they turn to the wrong place for comfort. Are you a kind of person they can turn to? You know, believe that the renewal of the church is happening, obviously. Try not to get overwhelmed with pessimism, because God is alive and at work, and he wants us to be alive and at work as well. My parish evangelization team created this beautiful poem, a prayer, I should say, that I want to share with you, because it's giving us the strength to go out and spread the good news. And it goes like this, the prayer for sharing our faith. God, our Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to share the good news of salvation. Lord Jesus, our Savior, you commanded us to go out and make disciples of all nations. Grant us the grace to spread your message of love, repentance, and forgiveness. Holy Spirit, fire of love, awaken and enlighten souls. Make fruitful our efforts to share our faith. Holy Trinity, fulfillment of all our desires, make us beacons of hope to a world hungry for your love. You got to realize that people are hungry for God's love. Mary, our mother, lead us to Christ, together with Saint Joseph and the communion of saints. Make us fit instruments in building God's kingdom. Amen. Now, to be fit instruments, of course, we need to be in the state of grace. And we need to examine our conscience regularly to see how we are doing. For example, back on Tuesday's entrance antiphon at Mass, I was thinking, can someone say this about us? It's from Malachi chapter 2, verse 6. The law of truth was in his mouth. Could somebody say that about you? So are you a good example of Christianity to people that are confused and lost? The law of truth was in his mouth. No dishonesty was found on his lips. He walked with me in integrity and peace, and turned many away from evil. Can they say that about you? Or do you need help with a personal problem? You're trying to dig yourself out of a hole. But you got to remember that God found Gideon in a hole, right? He found Joseph in a hole in the well and then in prison. He found Daniel in a lion's den. You know, God has a habit of showing up in the midst of trouble, not the absence of trouble. So where the world sees failure, God sees your future. He sees your conversion. So next time you feel unqualified to be used by God, remember this. He tends to recruit from the pit, not the pedestal. So if you're in the pit today, trying to climb out, you need some help in part of your life, this show is not just about going out and spreading the good news, but about helping you with your personal problems. So if you're frustrated, angry, tired, over-worried, depressed about your family and friends, you're feeling stuck, lost, confused, burdened by grief, struggling with a difficult relationship or tough decisions or empty prayers, give me a call. I'm here for the next 2 hours to help you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, and the show is called Mast Appeal. And the number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. So when we call out, Lord, save us, we are perishing, sometimes He sends people to help, and I'd be happy to help you today. Just give us a call, because storms can be beautiful. You know what I mean? I've sat through storms. Actually, yesterday it was raining, so I took the grandkids out to a picnic in the rain. And we watched the rain. Of course, it was under a gazebo. But a violent storm isn't fun, you know, especially if you're fishing in the sea. So you can see why the apostles awakened Jesus. So you wonder, like, how could Jesus sleep through that? He wasn't worried. So let's ponder some of these questions. What is the wind and sea in your life that you feel is about to take you under? Is there a wind and sea in your life that's about to take you under? Or have you ever felt as though Jesus was asleep in your boat and you're saying, Lord, wake up, help me? Have you dared to wake Him up? I'm pretty bold with God. I was up at Adoration last night and had a talk with Him. Or maybe has Jesus ever stood up in your life and created that great calm? I know I have. He's given me calm in the midst of several storms in my life. So, if you're in turmoil, call upon Jesus, or give us a call and we'll help you call upon Jesus. The number to get on today's Mast Appeal for some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we will be back with your calls in just a moment.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Garendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Those who deny the full humanity of the preborn will be toying with the sentiments of pro-life people. They will say, you can't really believe in the humanity of the unborn unless you support this or that piece of legislation. The pro-life position is quite different. We might well believe that we need to improve social conditions. But first of all, we believe that the preborn are a good to be protected, even if born into poverty, even if born into unstable, violent homes. We want to eliminate those terrible conditions, but it is the height of arrogance to tell human beings like unborn children who cannot communicate or reason or stand up for themselves that they are better off dead, because we know from our own experience that we would choose life and survival over death, no matter how poor our social environment.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Sounds like the Independence Day band at the parade. Is somebody at the parade this morning? Welcome to Mast Appeal. You're listening to Catholic Radio. The show is called Mast Appeal. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, here to help you today with your personal problems if you give me a call. Free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective if you dial 877 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK, since it's a holiday weekend. Some people don't even know that we're here, so there's going to be less wait than there was last week and the week before. We won't leave you hanging on the line. If you've hesitated to call before, today's the day to do it. There are lines open waiting to hear from you right now at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. So call in, and I can help you with your personal problem. Roger just called. Thanks for calling in, Roger. Roger from Illinois. He wanted the listener line number. And you know what? I probably would have done the same thing if I was out, like, driving somewhere, I stopped somewhere, and I wanted to hear the show, and I was then wouldn't have access to the Internet if I was going for a walk or in a store or something like that. But you can just call in on your phone and hear the show. You just dial in. It's a toll-free number as well. And you can listen to Mast Appeal and any of the Ave Maria radio shows at 605-562-0627. So you can listen anywhere, anytime. Thanks for calling in for that, Roger. So the listen anytime, anywhere to Ave Maria Radio, which is the producer of this show, Al Cresta Show, Dr. Ray Show, Teresa Tomeo Show, many of your favorite shows. So listen to Ave Maria Radio by calling this number, 605. And I know some of you are driving saying, oh, please, I can't remember it. 605-562. For those of you writing it down, 605-562-0627, 605-562-0627, and you can call in and listen to Ave Maria Radio anytime. But for now, for some free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective, you call our call screener that will answer This Is Mast Appeal. And you'll tell them your name, you'll tell them where you're calling from, tell them the topic of your problem. And that number to get on today's show, to get on it, not just listen, get on it, is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. So we celebrate our independence, this weekend, our independence from a country that we found oppressive, and we broke away, the young baby United States broke away with a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and they gained our independence for us, and we celebrate that we have religious freedom. We can still go to church, and I don't think, even if there's a quarantine again, our parish is going to close down. I think a lot of these good priests are just going to say, sorry, we're having Mass anyway. We're going to open, whether we do it outside or wear masks or whatever. I just don't think that's going to happen again with the strength that's been gained from the quarantine. So let's enjoy our independence from many things right now here on this weekend. And as Psalm 66 will say tomorrow, for those of you that read the psalm and don't just have a song for it, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise and say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Just look out in your garden. How tremendous are his deeds. Look at the flowers. Look at the trees. We have an apple tree in our backyard. It's growing. I'm praying those little bugs away. But we can have apples for the year. So cry out to God with joy. Thank him for everything that you see out in nature, the smells, just the oxygen that the plants exchange carbon dioxide for oxygen. Let all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. This is Psalm 66. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he's done for me. Blessed be God who refused me not my prayer or his kindness. So praise him as we celebrate Independence Day weekend. Okay, our first caller today is Mary from Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Mary. How can I help you today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Mary.
Yes. I just kind of have been struggling for the past, maybe 6-8 months. My husband passed away last year
I'm
unexpectedly.
So sorry. Oh, my sympathy to you, Mary, on the loss of your husband. Especially, you know, whether a loved one goes fast or slow, the slow is an agony for a long time, and the fast is a shocking agony. And, you know, we have to think of that. Actually, yesterday was my son's birthday, and those of you that listen regularly know that he shockingly died of a heart attack when he was 29 years old taking a nap. Like, no indication that this was happening. So yesterday is his birthday, and we celebrate his life, and the grandkids that never knew him are saying, Who's Sean? Who's Uncle Sean? Like, they didn't even meet him. And so part of your grief will be making sure that his legacy is carried on. So you have a question about that, though. So I'm sorry. My sympathy to you.
Go ahead.
What's the question?
This was our second marriage. We lost previous spouses to death. However, we have three children apiece, and they're all adults, having families of their own. However, his three children are becoming very possessive about things that my husband and I got together over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's put a very big strain on our relationship. Actually, we're not even talking to one another now. And
to any of the stepchildren, you mean?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, they all kind of ganged up on me, and
ooh,
they came over and they were kind of, I don't know, I felt a little bullied because they were asking, not really asking, pushing me to give them very expensive things that we had bought together. So anyways, we're trying to work through that, but it's really taken a toll on me because I'm all about family, all about trying to keep everybody at peace, preying on it, and it's just very difficult, and it's starting to keep me not focused on God anymore. I'm focusing more on the problem than on God and his promise for me and for my life moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to talk with you about that a little.
Okay, all right. And that's the scripture came to me, love of money is the root of all evil. And money isn't evil, but the love of money is evil. When people put money before people. So first of all, you're grieving the loss of your husband. And then you've got these issues and problems of some people, his children from his first marriage, that think that this is an injustice that you would have something because they were here first. I mean, I can just see that little attitude jumping up. And unfortunately, this happens more often than we'd like when someone passes away, that the people who think they deserve something and were expecting an inheritance think that they deserve what somebody else worked for because they were related to them. So it's sad to even think that people expect. It's a part of our, I guess, culture of, people just think they are owed something. And so it's sad that that's happening. Okay, how do you make peace and how do you focus on God? Those are your two basic questions. So first of all, making peace, well, maybe you better make peace with God first and then we'll make peace with the other people, because it's going to take a concentration to get that problem and those people out of your head. And a beautiful meditation that can be done at adoration. Do you go to adoration, Mary, at church, at the Blessed Sacrament? Pardon?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do have that weekly.
All right. Here's a new visual that I've been working on at adoration since I live just 400 feet from Adoration Chapel, 350 steps exactly from Adoration Chapel. I go to the Adoration Chapel, and when I have distractions, I just look at the host, which is a big white round circle, and I just see the glowing of God's grace in that. And it's surrounded by gold in our monstrance, and I just see Jesus there glowing. And I try to just put that whole Jesus image of the white host and the glowing with the rays coming out in my head and fill my head and just ask God to take, have the Holy Spirit just take all your problems out, and don't just give a little ray coming toward you, but have that white host with the gold rays around it fill your head so everything else moves out. So sometimes, I was talking to one of my life coaching clients, I said sometimes you have to put a person, like these three children that are a problem, in like a little carriage and ask the Blessed Mother to move them away, and you guys go see Jesus, because I'm sitting here, it's just Jesus and me. So you take them for a ride, you guys go see Jesus, and I'm going to be here with the Blessed Sacrament. I know I'm saying this faster than I would if we were on a private how to meditate facilitate to a client, but if you get the visual, like, we want to move those people out so that we can really be filled. We fill our mind and our heart with our Lord when we're at adoration or when we're receiving communion or when we're at Mass. And we take this time to just move them out of our life and fill ourselves with Jesus. And so after we do that, we are empowered and filled with God, especially right after communion or right after adoration, and we can focus on God in our prayer. And then can we manage the other problems, which would be helping these people? You could sit down with them and say, okay, what do you think is fair? What do you think is right? I'll talk about it with the lawyer, find out what it means, and we can see what we can do to take some steps to make everybody happy.
Have you heard the latest and greatest travel news? One more reason to join us on our premier Tees Italy pilgrimage, La Dolce Fede, or The Sweetness of Faith, this November 6th to the 14th. Hi, it's Teresa Tomio, and yes, it's an unbelievable price, some $3,600 for a 7-night land package, including Assisi, Orvieto, Rome, and much more. But now, and here's the latest and greatest news, no reason to worry about having to test to come back home. All testing requirements dropped. No vaccination, no testing, an incredible opportunity to visit tombs of the great saints such as Francis, Claire, Blessed Carlos Acutis, and so much more, except those tests. So call Corporate Travel now, 800-727-1999, or visit us online, AveMariaRadio.net, on our travel page. Call now, the trip is filling up, 1-800-727-1999. Hope to see you in Bella Italia in November.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The American people have never accepted late-term abortion. Yet since Roe v. Wade, abortion on demand at any time of pregnancy and for any reason has been our federal policy. But many states have started to limit abortion to 20 weeks. Also, the Supreme Court is becoming more pro-life. Therefore, abortion advocates are nervous. So New York and various other states have taken steps to make sure their state law allows abortion even to the day of birth. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo even had Sarah Weddington, who argued the pro-abortion side in Roe v. Wade before the Supreme Court, at his side when he signed the bill. That should awaken us that this extreme policy is not new. Abortion until birth is the legacy of Roe v. Wade. And it's time for it to end. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Mass Appeal, a Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Call now. The number to get on today's show, if you're facing some challenges in life, is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Even if you just need to talk about it a little bit. And I do want to talk to Mary just a little bit longer. The music starts playing. And I didn't want to rush you off, but I had to because of the timing here. And we are on a radio show that does end. And that's why my life coaching has been such a beautiful gift, to spend more time with some of our listeners when they have a bigger problem. You can learn more about that at my website, respectforyou.com. Respect the number 4, the letter U. .com or sexrespect.com. But anyway, Mary, so first of all, we talked about you how to get some peace for yourself in relationship with God, and a little tactic at adoration or after communion to really focus on being filled, your mind and your heart filled with God, and move everybody else out. But then when you get that peace, maybe one of those three kids that are trying to create trouble and demanding what they believe is their fair share, maybe find one with that's the most reasonable. But before you do that, remember that I don't believe they have any legal right to any expensive gifts you bought together. There's no legal right. You married their dad, and even though it was a second marriage, no kids have a right to any inheritance. It's not an entitlement, as people would say. That, you know, if he worked for that and he married you, that's there for you. So, first of all, they don't have a right to do that, as far as I know, legally. But, out of your generosity, you could meet with them, talk to the one that's most reasonable, and say, what do you think everybody really wants? Like, what do they expect? And just very calmly hear them out and let her maybe talk to everybody else. Like, what do you guys really want, and why do you want it? Here we've got a grieving widow, but they see it differently. They're like, she's not our mom. You know, so you got to remember where they are in their heads. And then what the law is, they don't have a right to anything you bought together because you're married, you've joined your lives together, probably joined your finances together. But if that most reasonable one would talk to them and say, what do we really want? Why do we really want it? And what do we really need? And why would we want to take it away from the woman that is the widow of our dad that is grieving his loss? So if there's, I don't know what you mean by expensive gifts. Like, for example, maybe you had a boat, and they think that's an expensive gift that they have a right to. Do you really need the boat? Give it to them, and let them split it and take turns sharing it. You know what I mean? Or if they think, I can't think of any, you know, other kinds of things that you bought together. Certainly not the house. They're not going to have any right to have any part of that. You don't have to sell the house and give it to them. So just ask them what they think is reasonable. So take a step and then be generous with something, or give them each a part of something. Say, if you believe this is your inheritance, you know, $10,000 or something like that, do you want it now? Or should we put it in a trust for you if it's, you know, left after you've cared for yourself? You know, so think of what you can do to be generous and to make peace among them after you first get centered on God. And let God's love fill your heart. One, because you're grieving the loss of your husband, and God's going to be your consolation there. But then to be able to face this problem. And if he recently died, I would just tell them, let's talk about it in 6 months. Let it rest. Just say, let's not do this now. Let's finish grieving. And we'll talk about it in 6 months. So don't take that as an emergency from them as well. Okay. Thanks for the call, Mary. God bless you. All right. Our next caller, you give us a call too. We got lines open waiting to hear for you today. Not a long wait. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Roger from Illinois. You did call back. Roger, welcome. You're on the air now. What's your question? Roger from Illinois on line 3?
Yes.
Okay. What's your question, Roger?
I have been trying to make contact with a gentleman that's president of Word Among Us for 5 years.
Okay. Go ahead.
Persistence pays off. But
okay.
In reading the Word Among Us today, I learned that his daughter died 5 years ago from a heroin overdose. And he's also got a son that is dying from some type of cancer.
Oh, my.
Now, he didn't tip his hand to me that he was bearing these burdens, or his wife and he were bearing these burdens. And I guess that's his right to do.
Right,
but,
right.
I'm thinking of what would be the best approach from the standpoint of trying to let him know I'm concerned about his well-being and mental health, even though I don't know him.
Okay. Have you been calling him or emailing him, Roger?
I've sent letters. I've talked to him on the phone. And but you know, nothing has opened up.
Okay.
So,
All right.
And I'm not one to give up.
Okay, sounds like it. That's great. Perseverance is a virtue. All right, I might suggest then that you, if you've called him and sent him a letter, go to the website and email him, because maybe somebody else answers his email. Or else go to if there's a general email at their website, Word Among Us, look to see if there's a contact us section on it, and then we know that even if Jeff isn't there right now, or doesn't answer his own mail, somebody does. So emails are something that somebody that runs an organization like Word Among Us would have somebody in the office doing that. So I'd try either the information email at Word Among Us and Jeff's email, which is on there. I see it, jeff_smith@wau.org. That's jeff_smith@wau.org. Was right on an article as I just pulled it up here. And so, and then the other thing is, if he is going through a lot of things and you're praying for him and concerned about him and not just wanting to do business with him, start the letter with that. Just say, I'm concerned. You know, I heard about some of the tragedies in your life. My heart is with you. My prayers are with you. And I would like to know if I could meet with you or anyone in your organization. We don't even know if he meets with people in his organization or anyone in your organization that can help me move this project ahead. And then ask for an alternative to him in case he's too busy. So try contacting him in ways that he could be reached, maybe email through his website, and then give him some consolation, and then go ahead and persevere with offering to speak with somebody else and present what you want to present to him. Try that, Roger, and keep praying and persevering. There's bound to be somebody in that organization that can either be in touch with him or maybe is the person that can help you anyway. Okay? All right. Thanks for the call, Roger. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, offering free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective for the next hour and a half here on this holiday Independence Day weekend. Give us a call at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment. Good morning and welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. Excuse me. And you can learn more about my work at my website, sexrespect.com, or respect4u, the number 4, the letter U, .com. You can learn about my life coaching, my speaking, my love ed books, my sex respect books, my love and life books, and other things that you might want to know. So sexrespect.com or respectforyou.com. But for now, give us a call. I'm just here for you the next hour and 20 minutes, offering free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective for all of our callers all over the country, all over the world, actually. We've had callers from Canada and Australia. I even had a call from Germany one time. Mary from Nebraska is next, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Welcome to the show. Mary, how can I help you today? You're on the air now, Mary. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, hi. I've been trying to find a job, and I've interviewed for several different places, and the job I have now I'm not happy with. But when I do interview, I just get real nervous and then don't know how to answer some of the questions. And I'm just really, really bad at that, and I'm not sure what I need to do. I'm not even sure what I want to do as far as the new job, and I don't know. I don't know how to, and then they ask, it's like, do you have any questions, and that's like, I can never think of anything, so I kind of mess up the interviews that way, too.
Okay. All right. What kind of work do you do now, and what kind of work do you want to do that's different, Mary?
Well, I was teaching for a while, and then I've been subbing. But I'm not even sure what I want to do. I'd like to work, like maybe with plants and things like that.
So what are you good at? What are some of your talents or strengths? Are you good at welcoming and talking to people? Are you good at something creative and artistic? Are you good at writing and editing? What are some of your strengths?
I don't know. I can talk to people. I guess.
Okay,
you know, I do like you plants.
Can,
and
okay, if you've talked to people and you like plants, those are two good things. Okay, have you applied at florist shops and stores that sell, you know, plants, and or
yes,
work at
yes,
an arboretum? Okay, and
yes.
And what happens when you apply at those?
Mostly I don't hear from them.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like I don't have any, like, professional experience.
Okay. Then you want a startup job at a florist or a place where that sells plants. And even right now, during this season, even big box stores have plant people or plant specialists out there. So what you could do, first of all, take an inventory of yourself and pray. Take some time with our Lord and make sure that you are following His will. He knows who you are. He knows what your strengths are. He knows what your weaknesses are. And He knows where He wants, He knows what your opportunities are. So take some time of just praying, being with Him, and pray. I would pray the rosary is what I would suggest. I don't know if you pray it every day, but pray the rosary for peace. And meditate on those mysteries of the rosary and just ask Mary to fill you with God's peace as you ponder those mysteries of the rosary. So as you think of those situations in the life of Christ for each decade while you're saying Hail Mary, it has actually been scientifically proven that this brings a person more calm. And the scientists have said that they can, even non-Catholic ones, I was reading that in a book that was not a religious book. It just said, oh, another form of meditation that relieves anxiety is something that Catholics do called a rosary. And I'm like, whoa, here's a book trying to help people with anxiety and worries, and it recommends the Catholic rosary. So that was pretty cool. So think of, take some time the next few days, pray your rosary each day, and ask God to show you your gifts, your talents, and your opportunities. And then, knowing that you're doing His will, it takes the pressure off the fear in these kind of interviews. So you go into an interview instead of thinking, oh no, what if they don't like me? I'll never get a job. They can just feel that. I mean, they can see right through you. People pick up on other people's attitudes easily, you know, just in a few seconds. But if you go in there thinking, Lord, if this is your will that I work for them, that you can bless this interview, and you stay in the peace of the Lord, that peace that you felt when you were praying the rosary, you just bring it to the interview with you. So praying the rosary every day actually can help you with a job interview. Can you believe it? And so then you go to the job interview, you experience that peace, and then they want to be around you. Like, she's got something we don't have here. Even if it's about plants, they want their customers to find some peace, not anxiety, and not worry. Then you got to look at how you present yourself. Are you dressed properly? I mean, it takes them 3 seconds to give a first impression for them to make a quick judgment. How do you present yourself? Are you standing in the posture knowing that your Father is the King of the universe? And are you walking with confidence knowing that you are a princess of the kingdom of God? That gives you confidence. And then are you dressing as though you are a princess and your Father's the King of the universe, and that his blood shed all over you takes away your sins and weaknesses that we confess and that we try to work on, and covers you in the red robe of His blood, the red velvet robe, or the red velvet dress. So think of you being a child of God with certain talents and gifts that you want to share with the world, and He gave you this little desire in your heart. You always have to listen to those desires as well, to love plants, and know that some floral company out there, or some plant a company, I forget what they call them, not arboretums, nursery, where they grow trees, is there waiting for someone like you. And have confidence in that God has somebody waiting for you. And then make a list, Nebraska. Okay, make a list of everything within driving distance of your house that is that possibility. And you take that list with you the next time you go to adoration, or to the next time you go to Mass, and say, Lord, here are my options. What do you think? And continue to pray the rosary each day, go to Mass and confession, go to confession regularly, go to Mass as often as you can, because you want to be in the state of grace, having gone to confession and Mass at least once a week. I mean, confession regularly, which is generally a month, once a month, but go to Mass each week and be in the state of grace so that you can hear God calling you. So we want to be able to hear God's voice better. That's why we try to stay in the state of grace. And we will hear Him give you, you'll hear Him prompting your soul in different ways. He'll prompt and just give you thoughts. You might not hear, you know, lightning come down and write it on the wall, but you're going to hear promptings from Him, and you're going to get ideas that the Holy Spirit's going to place in your heart and head. You're going to drive by a place you've driven by five times before, and all of a sudden you see it was a floral shop or a nursery for plants. Or maybe at a school that has a nursery in it, and you could be an aide there if you have some teaching experience. So let God show you the opportunities. You make a list. Do everything you can as a human. Work as if everything depended on you. Pray as if everything depended on God. And then take step by step through the process, walking there with confidence in God, who loves you, who created you, that gave you many gifts and talents, and the time to serve Him. And know that whatever job you do, especially if you like talking to people and you like plants, whether it's a florist or helping brides with their bouquets or working in a nursery, selling Christmas trees, you know, think of all those options, present them in your meditations before God, and let Him show you where you want to be, and He will take over from there. So stay close to our Lord and have confidence in Him and be the person He made you to be. And then you can serve Him in whatever job He chooses. Thanks for the call, Diane. I hope that gave you some words of, or not Mary, I'm sorry. Mary, I hope that gave you words of encouragement. So God bless you. Okay, it's time to go to our break. I'm a little bit late now. We're going to talk to Diane after the break, though. But you can give us a call, too. The number to get on today's Mass Appeal is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Talk to you in a moment.
Have you ever really listened to the words of the Our Father? I mean, really listen and meditate line by line. For weeks, I couldn't get the phrase, "Thy will be done," out of my head. Thy will, not my will, but Thy will. What is the will of the Father for us? When I started to meditate on that phrase, I realized I never really asked. I was so focused on my own will and what I wanted for my life. I really started thinking about that phrase when speaker Tom Naimi told me what he said to God while serving a life sentence in prison. "I messed things up pretty good," he told the Lord, "but now I give you my life. Let Thy will be done." A few years after uttering those words, Tom was released from prison and never did serve the 60 to 90 years he was sentenced. Today he preaches about healing through Christ and the will of God. What is God's will for you? This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
The Catholic Catechism opens up the mystery and the true magnificence of the Mass. It is both the sacrificial memorial that perpetuates the sacrifice of the cross and the sacred banquet of communion with our Lord's body and blood. The whole movement of the Eucharistic sacrifice is toward the faithful achieving union with Christ through reception of Holy Communion. The altar is both the altar of sacrifice and the table of the Lord. The Christian altar is a symbol of Christ. It represents, says St. Ambrose, the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is on the altar. Our Lord made it very clear how important it was for us to receive Him in the Eucharist. In John 6:53, He says, "Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life within you." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Oh, hey! To get up and march for this segment, this is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, celebrating Independence Day this weekend. Taking a long weekend, but wanted to stop to be with you these 2 hours on Mast Appeal. So welcome to our regular friends, any new listeners, people that were just they're driving across the country and just flipping the dials on Sirius Radio and hit on 130. And here we are, EWTN Network, here on Sirius Radio or there on your local Catholic radio station or on the Ave Maria Radio app or on the EWTN app, wherever you're listening, welcome to Mass Appeal. We're here for another hour and 10 minutes offering free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Welcome new Catholics, welcome people who aren't even Catholic, and welcome people who want to be more Catholic. So you can learn more about my work, Colleen Kelly Mast, at respectforyou.com or sexrespect.com. Okay, we've got Diane. We're going to try to get Diane done before the top of the hour. Diane from Ohio, welcome to the show, Diane. How can I help you today?
Hi. Hi. I have several nieces and nephews who are baptized in the Catholic Church and who are no longer practicing Catholics mm-hmm. and are getting married outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not planning at this point to go to their weddings or the receptions because mm-hmm. they're not getting married in the church. And I just wondered what to do about a gift, like a wedding gift. Do I give them a gift? Do I not give them something? I mean, how do I acknowledge, you know, in their eyes that they got married?
That they did get married, yeah.
In my mind, it's, you know, not... You know,
not a marriage.
Marriage.
It's not a sacramental marriage. And it's right. So sad because so many nieces and nephews of everybody that listens to the show, they just don't get it. They don't realize the grace right. you get in the sacrament. Like they're missing. It's like the biggest present they can get is from God. And that's the grace to make this marriage last, the grace to mm-hmm. smooth over all their differences. They just don't get it. And so...
Yeah.
You can give, I would say, one thing, you want to give them a little bit of an educational gift, a good little book that helps them see what love really is, or what marriage really is, or what connection mm-hmm. to God really is. So I would give that as one of the gifts, or maybe like the Dominican Sisters' short guide to praying as a family, something that can connect them to God, and then something for their kitchen that they'll remember every day when they use it, like the butter dish
yeah.
or the forks, and then they'll think of you because you'll write a nice card, beautiful congratulations, and something they use every day for at least a few years, they're going to probably mm-hmm. remember who gave it to them. So mm-hmm. give them a unique kitchen thing they're going to touch every day, and it's going to remind them of this book that you sent them to, this book about mm-hmm. Marriage or spirituality. Or there's
okay.
a book called Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons we had on the show about a year ago. He wrote a book called Habits for a Healthy Marriage, a handbook for mm-hmm. Catholic couples. But you can say, I know that was written for Catholic couples, but it would work for anyone. Unless they admit that they're Catholic and just don't want to get married in the church. So that would be an idea, Habits for a Healthy Marriage, which is like giving
okay.
them hope. You know, like, here's some help. You know, Habits for a Healthy Marriage. And then they can
sure.
look at that and read the 9 chapters. It's going to lead them to virtue. It'll help them overcome problems. So you'll help their marriage last. And it might even lead them to God. So
mm-hmm.
those two things, like a little something in the kitchen that reminds them of you, like, oh, yes, Aunt, you know, gave us this dish, you know, we remember Aunt Diane every time I take the butter dish out, or this, you know, nice set, you know, that we use every day, or this serving bowl that I can put, you know, in the oven and the microwave, or like something that they're going to use a lot that reminds them that you sent them that and the book. How's that sound?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay. I appreciate that.
All right. And I appreciate the call because, you know what, Diane, there are a lot of people in that same dilemma. So thanks for the call.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Yep. Gift ideas for those that, if you're not comfortable going to the wedding, but you want to acknowledge, like, we're happy they're not living together. You know, we're happy they decided that marriage has a value, but it's just that they just don't get the gift. The gift of grace is the biggest gift you could give them if you can talk them into getting married in the church. And that is another thing that we've talked about here on the show, is that somebody who wants a destination wedding can still, like, get married in the church, prepare in the church, get the counseling and the focus test, and look at some of the suggestions and problems they might have. But then they can get married in the church, like on Thursday night, just have a quiet ceremony, maybe with the deacon or the priest. If they don't want to have a whole mass, it's still a valid marriage to just have a ceremony, the marriage ceremony, a sacramental ceremony with the scripture verses, the wedding vows, some songs. And they don't even have to dress up if they're going to have another one the next day on the beach. But then they'll be married. They'll really be married in the church with the sacramental graces, and then God can draw them closer to want to maybe participate in the church more, or maybe that preparation will help them. So that's an option, is just having a small wedding in the church and then your destination wedding the day after that everybody else watches. But you know, and God knows, you took your vows ahead. You give us a call, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. One more hour of Mass to Peel coming up.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Mass to Peel, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective this next hour. So, got to call in with your question or personal problem. Your calls drive the show, and just like Diane's question, sometimes you call and there are thousands of people out there wondering the same thing, and they're thanking you for calling in because they wanted to know that too. So often I get emails through the radio station, MassedAppeal@AveMariaRadio.net, where people will call and say, oh, thank you so much for that answer, because I had the same question, but I was driving and I couldn't call in and ask it. So you never know. You could be helping someone else as well as yourself. So if you're concerned about some problem in your life, trying to make a big decision, deciding where your kids are going to go to school next year compared to where they went last year, or switching jobs, or any kind of problem, a moral problem, a social problem, or maybe a problem you're burying instead of facing, give me a call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are this next hour. So if you have a personal problem, don't blame God, you know, because He can help you grow to be a better person despite your situation. And He can take this problem and rise it from the dead. And you take the power of His resurrection and you can grow to be who He wants you to be. So the problem maybe can guide you, you know, instead of block you or frighten you. So maybe it's an opportunity for grace or humility or greater charity. We don't know what God is calling us to. Maybe He's calling us to greater kindness or greater patience. So whether it's a family division, a personal problem, a moral, spiritual, whatever's disturbing your peace, a work problem, school decision, give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. And tomorrow's gospel again has, you know, sends us out. At that time the Lord appointed 72 others besides the original disciples whom He sent ahead of Him in pairs to every town and place He intended to visit. And He said, I'm sending you like lambs among the wolves, which I said at the top of the first hour, kind of reminds us what our culture is like today. And especially the whole last month, you know, between being whole group of people hijacking our rainbows that give us hope, and then the overturn, the response to the overturn of Roe v. Wade, it created a messy culture that just made me and my son and my daughter and a lot of people that want to stay pure in their heads just stay away from the news and just look at the beauty and the goodness, and we'll turn June into pro-life month. But Jesus said, into whatever household you enter, first say peace to this household. So if you're in conflict with a relative or someone over some of these issues, first bring peace. And Jesus says, if a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him, and if not, it'll return to you. And then a couple verses later, He says, whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what's set before you, cure the sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. And so to prepare yourself to do that, and this is something Mary, two callers ago in this last hour, we first want to prepare ourselves by being connected to God. Actually, a couple of our callers, whether you're trying to find a new job or the other Mary from Nebraska, Mary from Wisconsin, trying to focus on a family problem that Mary from Wisconsin was facing, to just every morning we offer ourselves up to God, just refresh our spirit. He gives us a new day. And then immediately plug into the power source. Don't spend your own energy on things that God wants to do through you. Know who God is. Know what He can do. He can do great things by strengthening us. And then realize what your talents or gifts are. And ask God to make up the difference for whatever chores you're going to face that day or whatever tasks you have that day. And then cast our worries and cares upon the Lord. He wants to carry. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He wants to carry our burdens. And that should free us. We should walk with a skip in our step. We should be joyful Christians. And then just stay in His light. Let His light, His brightness, His glory fill your head so you feel loved all day. And guide your thoughts to what is good. Don't let the devil talk in your head. Don't let the negative self-talk put you down. That's not God. God is not putting you down. If you examine your conscience regularly, the Holy Spirit will tell you what you need to confess. But we don't have to carry around guilt as Christians, particularly as Catholics, because we can go to confession and have our sins forgiven. And today's Saturday, you can do that. So stay in the light. Guide our thoughts to what is good. If we have guilt, then we need to confess it, get rid of it, so we can stay full of our Lord and full of the Holy Spirit. And then we can act in God's strength. Then we can courageously stand firm to do whatever we need to do, to say what we need to say, not in a way that it attacks or challenges people, but certainly with a loving conversation, by bringing up, whether if it's a difficult topic or somebody said, oh, you're Catholic, you do this or that, you know. We want a dialogue, not a confrontation, so we don't have to even defend it. We could state a simple fact or tell a story. And I do that when it comes to the abortion decision. Like, state the fact, like, oh my goodness, I know from science class that life starts at conception, and I would never want to kill a baby. I would never want to rip him in pieces and kill him. I mean, so I just state a fact and my belief, and then I tell a story. And it's a true story of a girl that came to work for me. She had gone to Birthright for some help, and she came to work for me when I was publishing the Sex Respect books a long time back. And she was so happy to be here. She goes, oh, I wish I would have read this a long time ago, especially that secondary virginity chapter. But she had already had an abortion, and she regretted that after, and then she was raped, and she said that the after effects of the abortion were 10 times worse than the after effects of the rape. And this is from somebody who had been there. So when you say, oh, rape or instance, she found that, and then the second pregnancy is when she came to me. And then she said, well, I've already had an abortion. I don't want to do that again because the effects of the abortion were 10 times worse than the effects of the rape. And then she said, I just need to carry this child to term, and she's probably going to put it up for adoption. She ended up losing it, you know, having a miscarriage in time. But there's her story. I just tell that story. Like, I know a woman who said that the effects of the abortion were 10 times worse than the effects of the rape, and she was able to heal by coming back to church and actually going to confession. I brought her back to confession, and it's beautiful. She's been there a long time. She hadn't been back to church in a while. And so, but she was healed of that. Jesus can heal you from something, but somehow the psychological effects of the abortion were still way worse than the effects of the rape. So just like that, you can tell them a story. Don't confront the people. Speak persuasively, not abrasively, but show that you're understanding and see. Show them how this serves the greater good. So try not to get in big arguments or conflicts, but peacefully talk in a way that shows that you have confidence in what your decision is, and you hope they can see that. And you can listen to their side as well. Listen to, you know, why do you think this is good? How is it helping? Who have you known that's really better off because they had an abortion? And just do that calmly if you can. And give us a call with your question or personal problem on any topic. The number to get on today's Mass Appeal is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Go out and share the good news. Okay, we're going to take Nancy before the break. Nancy from Ohio called, listening to the rock radio station. She has some encouragement for Mary, the caller before Diane, so last hour. So thanks for calling, Nancy. What did you want to say to Mary, the one that was looking
hi,
for
Julie.
A job? Yeah, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy your show. I listen to it every Saturday.
Thank you. Anyway,
I just wanted to let you're welcome. I wanted to let Mary know that, you know, she said she likes plants and things. I mean, I've been selling real estate since 1983, and it's like a lot of people don't realize what a fulfilling career it is. And, you know, you have to study, of course, and get your license, and I just thought maybe she could explore that, you know, or any of your listeners if they're thinking, what should I be doing? Because I was in the novitiate in 1971 to 73 at Notre Dame in Charlton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
And, I mean, it was a great experience. And, you know, I missed my family, so I did leave.
Mm-hmm.
But I got into real estate, and I dedicated my real estate ministry to the Blessed Mother. And it was just so fulfilling, and I thought maybe, I mean, I feel like I'm doing God's work outside the convent than if I was, you know, but it was a great, great experience to be, and great formation to be at the Sisters of Notre Dame in Sheridan.
Wow, beautiful, and how God prepared you to deal with people by just helping you become holy and well-formed, and now you see your real estate as a service to Him.
Right, and a lot of my clients will say, I'm so glad you got out of the convent. You know, they said, because we wouldn't have had you. I mean, it was just like the Holy Spirit confirming what my decision was. So
wonderful.
I struggled with that, too.
I bet. Yeah, because you don't know when you're discerning, and there are certain ways to help you discern. I'm sure your spiritual director helped you do that. But you want to serve God. You know that with all your heart. You just weren't sure where, and you thought it was in the convent, and then to realize that it wasn't there, but you can still show people the joy, the service, the charity, the kindness, the goodness, the listening, the understanding, you know, by helping them find a place to live or the beautiful place to live, or the less expensive or more expensive place, or when you're thinking you're providing for them an opportunity to buy a house where they will create a home and become loving. And so there's a lot of opportunities to serve our Lord right there. So how cool is that? Well, thanks for calling. And we will tell Mary from Nebraska, that was doing a little teaching, a little subbing, liked plants, and she likes talking to people. Consider getting certified to sell real estate. Well, thanks for that call, Nancy. We appreciate it. God bless you. Okay, that's an idea. Okay, Mary, think about that if you like talking to people. And maybe you can help with the landscaping, too. Work at a place that sells brand new houses, and you can envision that landscaping. Or you can advise people when they list a house with you how to stage their house. So that might fulfill your liking plants, how to stage their house with certain plants, or how to prepare the view from the street as to how it would look more beautiful when they sell it. So could tie in with your plants as well. So hope Mary was still listening. Think about that. And thank you, Nancy from Ohio, for that advice. All right, we've got 45 more minutes here and a couple callers and time for you to call. The number to get on the show this hour for your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK with your question or personal problem. Tell the call screener your name, where you're calling from, and your topic, and you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective in the next 45 minutes. How's that for free? We'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
Have you heard the latest and greatest travel news? One more reason to join us on our premier Tease Italy pilgrimage, La Dolce Fede, or The Sweetness of Faith, this November 6th to the 14th. Hi, it's Teresa Tomio, and yes, it's an unbelievable price, some $3,600 for a 7-night land package, including Assisi, Orvieto, Rome, and much more. But now, and here's the latest and greatest news, no reason to worry about having to test to come back home. All testing requirements dropped. No vaccination, no testing, an incredible opportunity to visit tombs of the great saints such as Francis, Claire, Blessed Carlos Acutis, and so much more, except those tests. So call Corporate Travel now, 800-727-1999, or visit us online, AveMariaRadio.net, on our travel page. Call now. The trip is filling up. 1-800-727-1999. Hope to see you in Bella Italia in November.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Parents often complain that their kids either don't do their chores or don't do a good job with them. How can parents teach kids to do chores well? The easiest way to teach kids healthy attitudes toward chores is to create family work rituals, where families do chores together. Daily family work rituals give parents and kids an opportunity to work side by side, learning good stewardship, responsibility, and teamwork. Family work rituals provide on-the-job training for chores, so that when kids eventually get their own chores, they know what's expected of them and how to do them well. That's one reason family rituals for working together are such an important part of Catholic family life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
I'm having a parade here again, right in the studio. Happy Independence Day weekend. Hope you have some wonderful plans with your family. We do. We already started Thursday, I think. We're trying to make it a long, happy weekend, playing, enjoying the park. Even yesterday in the rain, we did our picnic lunch anyway under the gazebo, and it was wonderful. So enjoy your weekend with your family. Love them, or reach out and talk to the neighbor who's by himself or herself in their house or sitting in their backyard. So remember to reach out to those who are alone this weekend, especially if you are alone. You reach out to those. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem, and there are lines open waiting to hear from you. Less wait, second hour. You know you won't wait too long. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK, but the K really falls off. So give us a call, and we'll see what you want to talk about today. Our next caller is Jeannie from Wyoming. Welcome to the show, Jeannie. How can I help you today?
Yes, thank you for taking the call. So in the state of Wyoming, and I'm going to try to be very charitable about this, we have a bishop, as we refer to as a socialist, and I'm not trying to badmouth, but the alarming fact is, he will call in our young priests in the office, especially our holy young priests, and he will threaten them behind closed doors.
Wow.
He will tell them, it's getting far worse, but he will tell them unless he thinks the way he does, they'll no longer be priests. And the reason we know this is I own a Catholic store in Sheridan, Wyoming, and a lot of these young priests reach out to certain individuals, myself and some other ladies, and they confide in us and ask for prayers. And so we have a team of prayer warriors that will pray. And when they come out, they're like, okay, you know, and our heart is bleeding for them. But to make it worse, in our own parish, we have an older priest who is not well. He's had head injuries, late diabetes, and I know he's got to be afraid of this bishop, but he's sort of, and I'm trying to be charitable, we refer to as a yes man for the bishop. So if the bishop says remove the tabernacle from the adoration room, he removes it. And the most alarming is we've had a young holy priest, because we're a rather large parish, we had a holy young man from India, and he was fired, which is unheard of. And again, the bishop was making an example, you know, of this young man, and it's left us with one priest to cover multiple masses.
Wow.
And for reasons unbeknown, this older priest, who's not well, cut one of our major masses. So you have 240 to 273 people that are now displaced, and you know, I've tried to visit with him. I pray to the Holy Spirit. My eyes and ears are open. I'm a fact gatherer based on a past career. And so visiting with this priest, I'm like, Father, you know, the people are divided. They're upset. They're hurt. Multiple are leaving the church. You know, and at our particular Mass, the head usher, you know, he greets everybody. He makes a point to be there. I know a lot of the faces, so with the scare last Sunday, I was saying my prayers in the entryway, and I know who comes in, who doesn't. And there's a lot of young people that I have sent to this church and this priest, because at one point I trusted him. I trusted that he would take care of these souls. And he has done a beautiful job with a select few. But some of these people, they are a little scary, but they want to learn the faith. And, you know, through many miracles, many have come into the church. But my concern, and a lot of people's concern, is, you know, they feel abandoned. He skips or he doesn't say major parts of the Mass. And this is part of him being unwell. He's stopped on a couple occasions. He's missed the consecration. And at one Mass, the lady stopped him and said, yeah, he said, Father, you didn't do the consecration. I believe that's part of the head injury. I want to, in my heart, believe that he's not intentionally doing this.
Yeah.
And so...
So, but the bishop just keeps him there. The bishop doesn't listen to this problem.
No. Well, the bishop is... Like
has his own set of problems. All right. Whoa, this is big. And if the music starts playing, we'll hold you over here. So, first of all, to pray is good. And to have a team of people praying for your priest is good. And I was thinking, too, being this Independence Day weekend and 4th of July, how the first settlers there band together when they wanted to be independent from England. We don't want to be independent from the church, but we do have to band together. We do have to band together as a church, because we have to strengthen the congregations, since especially in a lot of places there are less priests, so that we can support one another, support our good priests, and remain and stay holy and not not working against our church. So a couple things we're going to talk about, what to do about this priest and what to do about the bishop. Since you're a fact finder, Jeannie, and God put you in this position of being in the middle of an area where people come in to buy Catholic books and things, that you're in a good position there. So one, pray. And whenever someone else comes in, just say, there are many people like you complaining like that. Let's all pray. Then you want to ask each of these people in the parishes to write letters of support to these young priests. Just occasionally, Father, I'm praying for you. Here's my favorite holy card. Father, you're doing a good job. We want to give these young priests as much support as possible. If they are not getting it from the bishop, they need to know. We don't want them leaving. They need to know that they are appreciated, cared for, prayed for. So as many letters as you can get written to these priests. Every time somebody comes in and complains about another priest and they know a good one, just say, write a letter to the good one. Then I want you to gather the facts about this one priest who's skipping the consecration due to his brain injuries or skipping other things and parts of the Mass, and send that, gather just factual information that you're concerned is that they aren't even following canon law. You know, so send that letter to your bishop officially, because it's just about facts. It's not about who he is or what he thinks or believes in. It's that he needs to address this, and make sure you have a copy and send a copy of that to the head of the state conference of bishops. Hopefully this bishop is not the head of the conference, but each state has its own bishops conference that works together. So send that letter to your bishop and the head of the conference, and if he happens to be head of the conference, and you don't have to say that out loud, go to the next largest conference in the next largest state and copy him as well, so we know somebody's going to hold him accountable. And then with this bishop problem, you can write to the Apostolic Nuncio in Washington, D.C., the Apostolic Nuncio, that's like our representative from the Pope, and just report facts again. And don't accuse him of being a certain word or anything, but just say there is this bullying of young priests going on, there is neglect of personnel going on, and copy the bishop himself and his personnel director, whoever he has, which priest he has in charge of that, and the apostolic nuncio, and create the facts and the case, and pray to make a difference. But that most important thing is going to be to support those young priests that are good priests, that are saying correct masses, that are holy and bringing people to the faith, and get them letters, presents, flowers, fruit, clothes, whatever they need. Let those people grow together in charity and support the priests who bring us Jesus in the Eucharist. We can't have parishes without priests, so don't let these guys leave or get in trouble or get changed. And then go ahead and write to the bishop's conference, and about the bishop, go to the apostolic nuncio and maybe the conference nearby as well. So we're seeking justice with charity. We want to be kind, but we can't just ignore these problems. That was one of the problems with the whole abuse thing, is that they just ignored it, and the people that knew what was going on didn't speak up. So we do have to speak up and see that justice, fairness, charity, goodness is brought into the light. Don't leave it in the darkness. And because you're at that Catholic bookstore and people come into you, you have an opportunity to spread this goodness and this truth around the diocese. So God bless you. I know a lot of our listeners from every state will be praying for you. There are probably other dioceses that have problems similar, unfortunately. But now we have a path to take. So thanks for the call, Jeannie. God bless you.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Those who deny the full humanity of the preborn will be toying with the sentiments of pro-life people. They will say, you can't really believe in the humanity of the unborn unless you support this or that piece of legislation. The pro-life position is quite different. We might well believe that we need to improve social conditions, but first of all, we believe that the preborn are a good to be protected, even if born into poverty, even if born into unstable, violent homes. We want to eliminate those terrible conditions. But it is the height of arrogance to tell human beings like unborn children who cannot communicate or reason or stand up for themselves that they are better off dead, because we know from our own experience that we would choose life and survival over death no matter how poor our social environment.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Good morning. Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Call now, especially if you've been left on the line before. We can put you right on. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. So many things to pray for. So many causes out there. And B just called. She said to tell Mary that Mary needs to volunteer. This is Mary from Nebraska that was looking for a job. Volunteer, and this will help her with confidence. Good idea. I usually recommend volunteering. Thanks for bringing that up, B, because she says volunteer at a nursery, a college, or a vocational school. Thanks, B, for calling and giving us that suggestion. Because for those of you that just joined us this hour, Mary called last hour, and she's tried teaching and subbing, and she likes talking to people, likes plants, but she gets really nervous at her job interviews and doesn't seem to win the job, and she doesn't like the job she has, and she's trying to find a new one. But whatever your hours are at the job you have, there's probably a couple hours a day or a couple hours a week that you could volunteer to do something that you like. And volunteering is great for any of us. It actually helps us. It doesn't just help the organization we're volunteering for, but it helps us grow. Giving of yourself unselfishly without any rewards or pay in return pays you anyway. It pays you sometimes in confidence if you need confidence. It pays you in connecting to people, which is something that we were made for, is connect to God and connect to people. And it pays you in a way that you get to learn another form of work and see if that matches what you like or matches what God has created you to be. And it might help people see what a good worker you are. And they say, wow, you know, you've been volunteering each week and now we have a new opening. It's a great way to get a job is to volunteer first. They see your work ethic. They see how pleasant you are to be around. The next opening that comes up, who are they going to hire? Of course, you, who was their volunteer. Because you've learned the skills, you've helped out, they know you. So, great idea, B. Thanks for the call. And it's time for you to call, too. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. When we hear all these problems, we have to remember that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And so we look at some of these problems, especially that one with the church, that last caller from Jeannie, that we know that God is with us, that He will not abandon us. The gates of hell will not prevail against our church, but sometimes we have to stand up. And as I said, I think we learned this with some of the disasters of seeing that there were bishops that covered up bad things. So let's not let any bad things stay in the dark. Bring them out to the light in a charitable kind way, using the proper paths. And then let's praise God. You know, we glorify Him, offer sacrifices to Him, you know, because we sometimes think about our personal tribulations so much that we aren't as grateful as we need to be. And this is a way that we can help ourselves just have a better mental attitude, a better connection to God, and that is practicing gratitude. You hear it a lot of secular places as well, but for sure for Catholics and Christians to have like a gratitude journal to write down each day what you're grateful for, it can help actually your mental health and your spiritual health. So if you don't have a little journal or a prayer journal, I have a prayer journal where I write the lights of my daily meditation. But then I write what I'm thankful for, and I go to adoration first and write down all the things I'm thankful for, and sometimes it takes the whole page. So find a little journal or some little notebook that you can see at the, not even at the dollar store, they're not even that much, at the grocery store and one of the, they used to be dime stores, that's how old I am. But get a little journal, a little spiral book or a little bound book, and let that be part of your daily connection to God. So each morning, write down 10 things for which you're grateful. Today I'm grateful that the sun came out. I just love the light and the sun and it's glistening off the leaves. That my garden is growing, both flowers and food. My apple tree is growing with not too many bugs this year. I try to keep it organic. So write down 10 things for which you're grateful. And then you can write why. Just say, Lord, I'm grateful for this and why. And even if it's a person you have a problem with, be grateful for them and why, and try to remember the good, even though that person might be a pain in your life. If they are, give us a call. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. So back to the gratitude journal. Write down 10 things you're grateful for each day, and then say why. And even people that are difficult for you, just write that. And then at night, take out your morning journal and whatever gospel messages you received from our Lord, from the Holy Spirit, and then look at your gratitude list when you started the day, and then find the one thing that happened that day that you're most grateful for, and thank God for it before you fall asleep. So you get up in the morning grateful to God, you go to bed grateful to God, and your this journal then will start detailing accounts of things in your life that bring you joy and bring you peace. And then you go back to that journal when you're having a bad day and everything seems to be going wrong. You go back to your gratitude journal. Oh, yes, I'm grateful for this. I remember that day. I was grateful for that happy moment or that wonderful phone call. Somebody finally called me instead of texted me, you know, or someone sent me a happy email. So think of that. And then over time, you can thank God for the difficult things, too. Because you know that those things help you grow, they help you change. So we don't always just thank God for the good things, but it'll take a while. Get all the good things down, spend months doing that, and then thank Him for those challenges. And eventually, I start thanking Him in advance for things I haven't even received yet. Thank you, God, that I know You're going to do this. I have great confidence in You that You will heal this, that You will bring this person back to the church, that You will mend this relationship. So then you can pray not only for what you're grateful for or what challenged you and what changed you, but then you start praying in advance for what you haven't even received yet. And that can change your prayer life because we thank God rather than petition God. There was a woman in our parish that we had gone to a retreat that I gave a couple months ago. It was back in Lent, actually. And she had said that she was just only asking God for things, and she used them kind of like a lottery. Like, God, if I give You this, will You give me that? And when she learned how to pray differently, and here's another way to learn how to pray differently with a gratitude journal, that you can not just petition God, not just ask Him for things, but you thank God. And then as we learned earlier when we were talking to both of our first Marys that came in our time of prayer, we just be with God, love God, and let God love us. So sometimes if we allow ourselves to pray better, we teach ourselves to pray better, we meditate on the scriptures, and we connect with God better, we will be able to face many of those things because then we are filled with God's strength. We don't just call upon it in bad times. So be grateful and thank God. Don't just petition Him. Thank Him for the challenges. Thank Him for what He hasn't even done yet. And give us a call, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. If you have a problem to solve or a person you're trying to change, realize I can't change them, but maybe you can change your thinking about it or your approach to them. Not to let them walk over you and you be in the doormat, but what can you do? How can we look at that problem to see what you can do to be more like Jesus Christ, who's our model and our Savior, and look at the problem in light of God's love and mercy and courage and how you can grow by facing this problem. So give us a call with your problem that might seem insurmountable right now or just too complicated. Go ahead. It's time to call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective, even here on Independence Day weekend. So if you're facing a challenge, give us a call. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Got an email question that is a common one that I get frequently from people, and we get calls about this as well. A guy named Sam, he said, how do I bring my stepson back into the church? His father abandoned him, and his mother and I, oh, abandoned him and his mother, and I was his only father figure. He practiced the faith at home with us and now came back from college and doesn't want to go. Thanks for any help you can give, Samuel. Okay, the I actually went to took a webinar this week by Brandon Vaught, who has written some books on how to bring your kids back to the church, and it was an interesting webinar. And he went through statistics we had already mentioned on the show, the five top reasons people leave the church. And it sounds like, Samuel, that your stepson is in the first category. 71% of people that leave the church do so because they gradually drifted away from the faith. So think about what goes on in colleges. You stay up late Saturday night, you're tired, you don't want to get up Sunday morning, you're studying, you don't want to go to Mass Sunday night, and nobody's making you do it. And so you kind of gradually do stray from the faith. So if he has absolute, you didn't mention in your letter, if he has absolute differences that he wants to discuss, be open and discuss those with him. But if it is a matter of drifting away, then give him little, you know, help him know what he's missing. You know, like say, you don't understand how great God is and how much he wants to help you. He's on your side. He's not just a guy keeping track of sins up there. He loves you. He wants to guide your life. So give him little, what you call seed gifts, you know, a brochure, an article online, forward him a YouTube video, maybe of the Catholicism video series or an episode of it, and watch it together, or one of the books that Matthew Kelly puts out, like Rediscover Catholicism, or some of the Lighthouse Catholic Media CDs or Catholic Answers booklets, on any, like, topic, if he has a specific topic he wants to talk about. But then give him some time to think about it, you know, because when you plant seeds like this, you operate under the surface, you know, but it gives you space for future conversations. So, you know, it at least put religion back on his radar, and then later open the conversation about the faith. Just talk about first about him, his daily life, how you care about him as a person, and, you know, his college degree, and help him with other kind of things that he wants to talk about deciding, you know, if he's in the right major. Just see if he's open to talking about just regular things that you know he's thinking about as a person, and then say something like, can I ask you something? You know, would you be interested in sharing your thoughts on the church and why you left? And then try to understand him, not in a confrontational way, but just out of curiosity. You know, and, you know, don't just shove your religion down his throat, but say, you know, what do you believe? Why do you believe it? And if you really do believe these things, let's visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and go to adoration and just spend some time praying together and invite him to confession and invite him back to Mass. And if there's a reason that's keeping him away, just try to address that very calmly and help him see. So I hope that helps you, Samuel, and thanks for the email. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. We're going to go, we have time to go to our phones here. Okay, Anne, should we go to the break and then Anne, or Anne and then the break? Okay, pardon me? Okay, we'll take Anne and hear her question, then if we have to go to the break, we'll break it up. So Anne from Georgia, listening on the Quest Radio, go ahead with your question, Anne. You are on the air now. Go ahead. Anne from Georgia, are you there?
Yes, I have two teenage granddaughters. They do not see anything wrong with abortion. And also, the older one said, I'm not going to wait to have sex. And then when I tell her how wrong it is, she'll say, well, Aunt so-and-so didn't wait. Uncle so-and-so, he didn't wait.
Yeah, you're
right. My parents didn't wait.
Yeah.
It's getting harder and harder.
It
is.
She
said, I'm not going to be celibate and be old.
Oh, my.
Now, they're both a product of a volatile marriage, and the parents are divorced. They've been divorced for about 3 years.
Wow. And here, this is what we're dealing with. And so thank you. And it's the grandmas that are doing the witnessing, the grandmas that are helping, because they'll listen. Exactly. The praying, like 14 years, like St. Monica. So keep praying, Grandma. That's good. But then learn to invite them into that conversation. And when they say something like that, we're first so shocked, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you believe that. And you tell them what you believe. But that turns them off. We want to hear what they're thinking or ask them some questions. And so, first of all, I the first came to mind was showing the movie Unplanned. Have you seen that movie yet? It was it's the story of someone who had worked at an abortion clinic and worked for Planned Parenthood for a long time and had a conversion due to an ultrasound. So they get to get engaged in her story and then see the resolution in the end. So the movie Unplanned, whether you can stream it online or somebody's probably going to call here in a minute and tell us how to get a copy of it to get the movie Unplanned. Just say, you know, we were talking about the abortion the other day, and I saw this movie, a full-length feature film of a woman who really used to believe abortion and help people with abortions, and then she began to see the truth about it, and I'd like to see it with you. So get it and watch it. And just say, and then we can just talk about it after the movie. And then it doesn't put you under pressure to, you know, to make a decision about that or to debate with her. Just let, I mean, they might cry when they see it. They might be converted. So all your prayers, you're going to pray during the movie. Watch it. The beginning of it is horrible. It's violent. But just say, I think you're old enough to see it. You know, like, lift them up. Like, okay, you might, if you believe in abortion, maybe you're old enough to see this. That I wouldn't really show it to somebody till they're 18 because it's kind of gross in the beginning. But I think you're old enough to see it. So lift them up and let them know that you think they can handle this. And then we'll talk about it afterwards. So that's what I would do about the abortion issue. And then about the what to do if they think having sex is fine. It's time to take our break, so I'm going to answer that right after this message. So can you hang on for a minute, Anne? Because these are two different things, but they're very much related, because if we prevent people from fornication, we're going to have less abortion anyway. So, hang on. We're going to go to our break now. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. Anne's going to hang on. We're going to talk to her about how to talk to her granddaughters who think premarital sex is fine and think abortion is fine. We'll be back with the answers to those questions in just a moment.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, wow, is it hot out here. We are right in the middle of the dog days of summer. School may be out, but church never is. And the liturgical life of the church can actually serve as a unique way to plan your summer vacation.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
This week on Christ is the Answer, we continue Father John's teaching series on the Ten Commandments. After freeing the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt, the Lord gave Moses a new rule to which the people would abide as part of the new covenant. The most recognizable of these rules are the Ten Commandments. Join us this week as Father John expounds on the 7th, 8th, and 10th Commandments, asking the question, why be good? Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Matthew 8, 5-10 tells us of a Roman soldier who understood how authority works and the power of the spoken word. He asked Jesus to heal his servant who was paralyzed and in pain. Jesus quickly said he'd go find the servant and heal him. The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." With the words of the centurion, Jesus knew the man's faith. The centurion understood the power of a word spoken by someone under authority. He knew the authority of Jesus, and Jesus just had to say the word. There is power in all of our words. That is why we must be careful with them. There is power when you tell a child he is no good, and power when you praise him and bestow blessings. So before we speak, first think about the words you give power to every day. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Welcome to our independent Veterans Day show of Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Not giving out the number because we're chatting with Ann, who has two teenage granddaughters that do not see anything wrong with abortion and said it's fine to have premarital sex and it doesn't make any difference. She doesn't want to spend her life alone. So this is a generation we're dealing with that is very, well, they've been brainwashed by this whole culture of abortion, of birth control, the birth control mentality, separating sex from marriage, separating love from sex. It's now we're paying the price here as a culture that our young adults are brainwashed. And so, and I do want to say that about the abortion part is that the bottom line, and even after you hear why she thinks abortion is good, just take a deep breath and you can say just really calmly something like, oh, I know that killing the baby does not really solve her problems. Now, historically, we've seen that killing the baby doesn't solve the mom's problems. It only creates more emotional and psychological problems. So if you're concerned about your whole person, think about that, that abortion doesn't really solve her problems. It just kills the baby. And she usually is sad later on about it. So, and watch the movie Unplanned with them. But then to somebody that doesn't understand the sacredness and beauty of sexuality, they probably don't even understand themselves. And that's why I wrote the books that I wrote. If you, she's 14, perfect. You could get the Love Ed Level 2 Girls book and the videos that go with it. Love Ed Level 2 Girls book. But she might not be ready for that if she's living in a very secular environment, goes to a public school. You might want to teach her from the Sex Respect book first, because Sex Respect that I wrote years ago is very, very appropriate for public schools or people who think like the public schools, because it goes logically through the health reasons. It's a health textbook. Health reasons why premarital sex is harmful to you. So it doesn't talk about morality at all, because it's for public schools. It's about 150 pages. But it goes through the concepts that help them see for themselves how it's better to wait till marriage. So chapter one just looks at the difference, what we are and what a difference, the physical, the mental, social, emotional traits that make a person male or female, which is something that young people need to be educated in today. It talks about unselfishness versus self-control. And chapter two talks about humans versus animals. So it's all just concepts they can understand in what's needs versus drives. So it uses language they understand and that helps them look at their character development to improve their capacity to love. So it's not, Sex Respect does not hit them over the head with the morals. And the Sex Respect student workbook you can get on my website at sexrespect.com, and I would get the student workbook. You can also get the parent's guide if you want, that has discussion questions to go with it, or the teacher's guide if you want to learn the whole philosophy behind it and how to do it. But even the student workbook would be enough. So the Sex Respect student workbook, the world's leading abstinence program. So chapter two just talks about, as I said, humans and animals, character development, needs versus wants. Chapter three is called Free Sex. Is it or isn't it? Isn't it? And sexual freedom is not the same as sexual impulsiveness. So you see how we first work with their minds, their desire to love. Chapter four is called Who's Kidding Whom, where the culture is trying to convince us that, you know, birth control is going to help, and the advertising tells us that this is going to make us happy, and there's little scenarios in there of kids who find out they are not happy. And then chapter five is called Sex on Credit, Pay Now, Play Later, because it talks about the psychological risk, the emotional risks. Of course, people know the physical risks, but then the risks of sexually transmitted diseases. But chapter seven, when we get to that point, when we're talking with our grandchildren who are not formed in the truth about themselves, it says yes to real love and no to real fear. And this is how saving sex for marriage keeps us from bad habits later on. It boosts our self-esteem, gives us more confidence, helps us develop better friendships with people of the opposite sex and the same sex, and how sexual self-control helps us grow into sexual maturity, so we do have a more fulfilling life later on, so we won't be alone. So, and there's 10 chapters. That was just the first 7, and then chapter 8 is the dating and hooking up working for us. Chapter 9 is about staying, how to say no with confidence. Chapter 10 is if you've already gone too far, how to get a new start. It's called Hey Now, Get a New Start. Chapter 11 is how does this apply to marriage, and how do we find a good relationship if we're looking at marriages that broke down through our life, to find out how, why living together doesn't help us, why premarital sex doesn't help us, and how we find fulfillment. So that's all in the Sex Respect student workbook. You can get it at sexrespect.com. So show her the unplanned movie, get the Sex Respect workbook, and you've got time in the summer to do your job and just help them gently learn the truth. Thanks for calling, Ann.
It's produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, avemariaradio.net. If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen at avemariaradio.net or Mass Appeal at avemariaradio.net. And listen for Mass Appeal Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 Eastern Time for free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective.